Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm your host, Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann today. Columbus hosts many events during the year, sporting games, concerts, fairs, plays, museums, etc. Recently, the Greater Columbus Arts Council would like a 7% tax on tickets or admission to sports, cultural, and entertainment events in Columbus. Today, joining me here in the studio, Emily Bench, staff reporter for Columbus Business First, to give us more details on that ticket tax proposal. Welcome to the show, Emily. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start with some details of this ticket tax proposal. In a nutshell, what does it mean? What would it do?
So this ticket tax is 7% surcharge on arts, cultural, entertainment, and pro sporting events in Columbus. It would potentially raise $15 to $20 million annually for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which they say is underfunded compared to competitive cities in our set like Cleveland, Pittsburgh. A lot of the surrounding cities are much more publicly funded than Columbus is. So they're hoping that this ticket tax, which would be on all these different events in the city, would come back, and 70% of it would go to arts and cultural organizations that the Arts Council provides funding for, and 30% would go towards Nationwide Arena, which is running low on its capital expenditures funding. So they're running low on funding for things like new chillers, new roofs, a lot of the nuts and bolts of what make Nationwide Arena competitive to other cities as well.
Whose idea was it to put forth this tax?
This tax was the Arts Council's idea. They have been looking for years and years into how can we bring more money into Columbus for arts and cultural organizations. They did a ton of studies. The Columbus Foundation did a study. They had figured out all different kinds of avenues. This ticket tax wasn't the only thing they were looking at. They considered doing cigarette taxes. They considered a bunch of different options and landed on this as the most feasible way to gain funding for the Arts Council.
And I think the reason they decided that was, didn't I read that they said it's a user tax, so people who are using, meaning going to these events,
exactly,
should be the ones who should be paying?
Exactly, yes. So these tickets, it's on the tickets for the events that people are going to. So they can choose to opt out of that. If I don't want to go to, you know, say Columbus Art Museum of Art for a gallery, I don't have to go. So it's not on every single person. It's for the user. And another thing that they have used as leverage is this is something that goes back to the Arts Council. In a lot of cities where these ticket tax are put in place, the funding doesn't go back to the Arts Council. It might go on these tickets for arts and cultural events, but they might go into different buckets to fund different parts of the city. So this is a really great thing that the Arts Council is posing.
So let's get it straight, though. Sporting events, collegiate sporting events, are you don't get the ticket charge on that,
no,
right?
They're, yep. Ohio State, you don't have to.
There's abstaining from that, basically.
Yep. And K-12 sporting events as well.
Okay. And then if you go to an art event, mm-hmm, be it the Museum of Art, which a visit or an actual ballet met, mm-hmm, you would be taxed on those events as well. So the arts are not exempt from this tax.
No, okay. They have skin in the game, as they said before. This is not something that they are getting out of.
Okay. How does the Columbus Arts Organization decide who gets how much of this funding? I mean, it's put in a big bucket, mm-hmm, and then how do these organizations vie for all the dollars?
That is a good question. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. But they do get access to the funds through this. That's the whole point of this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And at this point, how have the arts been getting money for their organizations?
Yeah. So a lot of their money, well, the majority of their money comes in through ticket sales, philanthropy, memberships. Those are the main three drivers right now. And that, if you compare those individually to national statistics, is much different. Most people get a lot more public funding than the arts and cultural organizations in Columbus do.
We're talking with Emily Bench, a staff reporter for Columbus Business First. And what we're talking about is the ticket tax that's being proposed by the Greater Columbus Arts Council to City Council to vote to put that into effect to raise money for the arts, but also raise some money for upgrades to Nationwide Arena. And you mentioned a few things, Emily, and initially you said 20 years ago, which it's hard for me to believe it was 20 years ago.
I was a baby.
But what do we know needs to be done?
a Nationwide Arena.
Right.
There's definitely the issue of the roof, and I'm sure Don Brown will talk about that. That is an issue that they have been looking at for a while. They want to replace that, I'm pretty sure.
And Don Brown is with the Franklin County Facilities, and he will be joining us later in this hour. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is a big one. I know that their chillers were also a big issue that they were looking into. The chillers keep the air cool, which is a big thing when you own a hockey arena. You want to keep the ice cool. So that was something that they have just recently done. I think it was earlier in August. That was another one that they had undertaken. So.
What has been reaction to the public hearings? And first of all, there were no public hearings scheduled. Now there have been public hearings, mm-hmm. which you've attended. Mm-hmm. What's some of the reaction to the proposal that you've heard from these public hearings?
There's a lot of mixed opinions. I think that there was a good representation of kind of everyone on the spectrum there. There were people that were very for it, and then there were people that weren't. And their reasoning for that is, hey, I just don't want to charge more. It was just as simple as that. I don't want my tickets to cost more, because with this 7% tax, obviously tickets are going to cost more. And it's not a huge amount, but you know, one of the organizations, they do their ticket sales cash only. So if they have a tax, they're going to have to be making change. And it's just little issues that people have been kind of bringing up that make them a little concerned. It's not huge things, but then there also are bigger issues in Nationwide Arena. A lot of people are confused about why is a tax on arts and cultural events funding a hockey arena? And the Arts Council's response is always, we're part of the same ecosystem. There's concerts and cultural events all the time at Nationwide Arena. And if we don't help fund this, then what's going to happen in Nationwide Arena? And what's going to happen to the Arena District, which are both very big contributors to arts and culture in Columbus.
Do you see some of the critics actually being separate? Like, I'd back this tax if it were only for the arts. What I don't like is the extra tax for Nationwide Arena. Do you see that as separate issues for people?
I've heard that. I know that our readership in our paper online, we have a poll, and it's obviously not a scientific polling, but it's just to get an idea of what our readers are thinking. And a lot of the readers have been replying to us saying, yes, you know, I would support this, but I think that this Nationwide bucket, I guess you could say, is separate or should be considered separate.
Another thing I have heard is that some folks don't like the way that this is going to be put into law, meaning they'd rather have it on the ballot and have voters take a look at it as opposed to it being a city council issue. What have you heard at the meetings regarding that issue?
I have not heard anything regarding that side of things. I have talked to some people over at City Council, and they're looking into ways to bring it back to the public again. So this is something that when City Council takes it up and looks into things, is they could open that process back up to the public.
So there's no deadline at this point?
No, there is not.
And how long has this been going on?
I think for a while. I mean, the studies have been going on for many years, but I think finally putting this into process, I would say maybe the past year or so. It could be longer, but I know that it has been a long process, and it's going to be continuing to be refined and move forward. So this is not the end by any means.
When the public is at these hearings or these meetings, is it brought up about the fact that, yes, this is a tax, but what that tax would do is keep these arts alive, and that's what makes the city vibrant and brings more. So there's talk about the fact that if we didn't have some of these events, we would lose money into the city. And that's what some of the event planners, I think, are worried about, that, you know, if you don't have these events, we become less, you know, viable as a city for events.
Yes, absolutely. So at the forum, I hadn't heard that as much, but I have talked to many people, one being Jim Lorimer of the Arnold Sports Festival, who's very concerned about this tax. And, you know, Columbus doesn't, up until this point, has never had a ticket tax. And a lot of our competitive set, a lot of the cities that we compete against for events, do have a ticket tax. And so they use that as, hey, we don't have to charge this extra fee. Come have this event here in Columbus.
So they use it as a promotional tool almost.
Exactly, exactly. And so they are concerned that this tax would make them a little less competitive.
But on the other hand, if everyone else has a tax?
Exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, it's a very, it's confusing.
What about the fact that the county would actually put some money into the till for this?
Yeah, so that is still up in the air. They haven't decided how much or when. From the last time I did a story on that, they still were in the process of figuring out how much would come from the county or when that would actually take place.
And would the county just put money toward the arena? Is the county's plan, and we can probably talk about this a little on, but do you know if they plan to fund the arts part as well, or would it only go to the arena?
I don't know. My guess with that, it would be to go to both, but because it would go to Arts Council, but I'm not sure.
And the other problem with the arena that is troublesome for some folks is that they, as you use the word bailout, they really do feel that this might be a bailout for Nationwide. What's the feeling behind all that? What's the history?
Yeah, so I know that there was a casino tax that the revenue provided by that would help fund Nationwide Arena, and that has not lived up to its expectations. It hasn't brought in enough money for Nationwide Arena. And so we had posed this question when we had met. We had met with the Arts Council a couple times in our office, and they had been explaining this process of how, you know, 30% is going to go to the arena. And we said, well, what about the casino tax? And they had told us, well, obviously that's not working out like we had planned. And so we had asked them, you know, is this a bailout of a bailout? Are we just trying to figure out how to get money, just throw it towards Nationwide Arena so they can figure out, you know, their own issues? But like I've said, they have stood by the fact that we are in the same ecosystem. Culture and arts and sporting events are all the same. And they bring in a great amount of economic growth to the city. Jamie Goldstein, who's a spokesperson for the Arts Council, told me that nonprofit arts and culture, so, you know, that means concerts and which would be at Nationwide Arena. They generate a good amount of money, $412 million in economic activity, 15,000 jobs, and $373 million in local household income. So these things do bring in a good amount of money for Columbus, and if we're not using funding to help boost them, then what's going to happen?
We are talking with Emily Bench. She's a staff reporter, excuse me, for the Columbus Business First newspaper. And we are talking about the, at least at this point, 7% ticket tax. And by the way, has that a firm figure?
I wouldn't necessarily say firm, but I knew that they don't plan to go over 7%.
Okay, so that's the, at least the ceiling, but it could be lower. We're going to take a quick break. And listeners, you can join the conversation about this ticket tax or user tax. Give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann today. We're talking about the Columbus ticket tax. The Greater Columbus Arts Council is sending a proposal to Columbus City Council asking for a 7% ticket tax to put art and entertainment events in the city to benefit the arts. And part of that money would also be used for updates and renovation for Nationwide Arena. Proponents say the arts are underfunded in our city, especially compared to other cities of comparable size. They also believe a user tax is the way to go. Critics believe the extra cost to events will cause some event planners and promoters to look past Columbus and go to other cities to host their events. Still with us is Columbus Business First staff reporter Emily Bench. And joining us in the studio now, Michael Ganadakis, spokesman for Advocates for Responsible Taxation, also president of Ohio Right to Life. And he's going to join us more to talk about that proposal. Welcome to the studio, Michael.
Thank you, Gail, for having me.
And by the way, we did reach out to the Columbus Arts Council, and they said, excuse me, they were unable to provide anyone during our time slot this morning, so we did reach out to them. You have organized opposition to this 7% ticket tax, forming advocates for responsible taxation, specifically to fight this. But you say your organization has been around a little bit, Michael.
We have. A couple of years ago, we formed when the Columbus Zoo wanted to increase our zoo taxes quite a big amount. And we formed and we were able to beat that 70-30 at the ballot box. And we put our organization on the shelf. And then when this came back, when this came around, I should say, we reorganized our group and said it's time to get into action.
Why did you think it was necessary this time?
Well, look, you know, everyone supports the arts. My family has the COSI membership, the zoo memberships. We you know, we go to the arts festival every year and we do anything we can to support the arts. But this is a very unfortunate 7% tax on anything from going to the movies with your family to going to COSI to going to any church. If your church has an event and they charge a $5 fee, they're going to have to tack on 7%. If you want to go see your local band or a jazz performance at a local establishment, 7%. I've talked to so many bar owners and restaurants and clubs that said this is just going to be a logistical nightmare. Not only do they have to figure out how to do that and count heads, they're going to have to hire lawyers and accountants, and the expense is going to be so great, it's going to put these venues out of business. Number one, our coalition, we started out, there's about 15 of us. We are over 100 strong now, and we are going to, when we announce here soon who we are a diverse group of men and women of all different political stripes, race, creed, colors, gender, sexual orientations. We've come together because this, in their opinion, would decimate the local art scene when it's the arts that are trying to do it. So what we see here is an imbalance. I believe it would raise approximately $14 million a year in new taxes on the backs of us, you know, a family of four wanting to take their family out.
Do you have another plan that you think would be better to fund the arts, or what do you think the arts should do if not this?
Well, the arts gets a good chunk of the hotel bed tax. It's one of the largest hotel bed taxes in the Midwest. So they're already funded quite well. And are there different strategies to raise money? Absolutely. We charge no money to go to the Arts Fest. 500,000 people a year go there. Imagine if you just charge $5 a person to go to the Arts Fest every summer. Do the math. You're going to add an additional $2.5 million, number one. Number two, the Arts Council claims that when you increase prices, it actually increases attendance. I scratched my head when I heard that one. But if that's the case, raise the prices of the museum. Raise the prices of COSI if that's what you need to do to raise additional revenue. But we think we have a huge competitive advantage here in Columbus now. We're able to attract great events. Why? Because we have a zero ticket tax. Cleveland has an 8%. Why would we get rid of that competitive advantage that we have now that we fill our hotels, our restaurants? Because look, Gail, there's no law that says the Arnold Sports Classic has to be in Columbus, Ohio. If we put too many burdens on them, they could move it. There's the conventions that we tout, that we have so many great things. I met Don Brown, who'll be on, and he's a great man. He's a great ambassador for the city. But what we're doing here now is asking too much of the people. Look, if our schools need more money, our libraries need more money, they have to go to the voters. What we're saying is look, let's not pass this at City Hall just because the Arts Council asked.
Right. That seems to be kind of a bone of contention with some folks, is the way it's being done through City Council as opposed to voters. How would you feel about that if it were put on the ballot? Would that make you feel better about it?
100%, because then the people who are actually going to be taxed can have their say. You know, when we did the zoo levy, that's what we did there. We said, hey, voters, what do you think about this? And they rejected it 70-30. And then the zoo came back and just did a renewal levy and it passed 70-30. So, there, you know, we have limitations as with our discretionary dollars that we use for entertainment. Look, we're going to pay our bills first, make sure our kids are taken care of. And then those discretionary dollars we use for entertainment. But if we tax it too much and we make it cost too much, who's going to get hurt worse? The middle class, low income people. And then these events are only going to be for the well-to-do in our society, which is unfair.
Emily, what have you heard as far as public hearings regarding how this is being passed between City Council and a vote that would be put to the public at large?
Right now, that's still up in the air. They're still deciding. The City Council comes back from their summer break on September 17th. So they're going to be picking up a number of different things when they get back. And I talked to a spokesperson for the City Council, and they said they're trying to figure out right now what's the best way to attack this. How do we want to move forward? Do we want to pose another public session, which was something they had talked about, was bringing this back to the public again, trying to get as much public opinion. You know, okay, if this isn't going up for a vote, let's talk to as many people as we can. Arts Council has already held 3 public forums where people did voice their opinions, and the Arts Council said that they would take those into consideration when they were drafting this to go towards City Council.
Michael, what part of the nationwide renovation, what part of that seems to be upsetting people? I mean, as a whole, you don't seem to like the tax, but is that separate from the tax and how you feel about the tax? So basically, if Nationwide wasn't attached to it, would you still be in favor or would you still be against it?
We would still be against it, number one, just to answer that. But, you know, I want the local musicians to voice their opinion because I attended all three public hearings from the Arts Council. And if 100 people spoke, 95 of them were in opposition. And the first issue they brought up was another Nationwide Arena bailout yet again on the backs of the taxpayers. If Nationwide Arena needs more money, they should charge the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are there rent-free. Your largest tenant is the Columbus Blue Jackets, a multi-million dollar professional sports team. Charge them rent, okay? That's the first thing you do. But to go back to the taxpayers, because I believe I heard $4 to $5 million a year would go from the ticket tax to Nationwide Arena. It's something the voters never wanted. We've rejected Nationwide Arena multiple times, and now somehow we own it, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, so much of that ticket tax money would go to Nationwide, which is one of the biggest issues that the voters said, no more. That's enough. They get enough from us.
We have Brian on the air now from Arlington, Upper Arlington. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show. And your question or comment, please.
Well, my comment is following up with your current guest there. My issue is not so much with the art stuff. My issue, again, is this Nationwide bailout. You know, why aren't they self-sufficient? You know, why first they needed to take money away from the casino tax revenue, which could have gone to other things, which was never what was promised us when we voted to legalize gambling. But so now we've got money going to the casinos, or excuse me, to Nationwide Arena. But now they're again coming back and asking for more money. I work in retail. I work for a grocery store. We are an anchor in the strip mall that we're in. We employ a lot of people. We generate a lot of revenue for the city. Where's our bailout? At what point, you know, where is our help? I'd love to have some renovations done around our store. That comes out of our revenue, but Nationwide seems to get a blank check. So as somebody who works in the free market, if you will, you know, it comes down to you have to work with the money that you're given, and if you can't, then maybe you're in the wrong kind of business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian, hey, thank you for your comments. And they follow up what you said, Michael. On the other side of it, the proponents of it say, look, what Nationwide Arena has done for this city, we have established the arena district. It's caused that entire section to grow, not just the arena, but the businesses that are attached to it. Now, the apartments and condos, that has been a catalyst. So how do you say no now to the arena when it's caused all this other stuff that ultimately does bring money into the city?
Sure. But most voters and your caller just mentioned there, it's almost like a bait and switch because it was presented to us at the ballot box multiple times. And the voters of the Columbus and Franklin County said, no, thank you. And then it was built with private money. OK, fine. And then people go and they support events there. They'll go to the Blue Jackets, what have you. And this isn't anything negative against the Columbus Blue Jackets, because if you ask the ownership of the Blue Jackets, they don't want this ticket tax either. Neither does the Columbus Clippers, because it hurts their tenants. They can't ask for more money from the from their taxpaying guests because they think the ticket prices are high enough. But at the end of the day, Nationwide Arena was something that was thrust upon us. And now we're continuing to have to divert money that could go to so many things that are facing our city. Look, some of our schools don't even have air conditioner, and we want to give $4 million to Nationwide to build a new air conditioner when Columbus Public Schools don't even have air conditioners and they're getting out again today. There's some inequities here. And I'm telling you, Gail, the voters of Columbus will not support this.
Emily, when you've talked to event planners and promoters, does the 7% really that big a deal and them not bringing their events here? And I know Jim Lorimer has said so, and you've mentioned it, Michael. But I guess my point is, if every other city's doing it and we're not, is it really make it that much more beneficial to us and that much more attractive? Or if we're on the same page with everybody else, then we're just on the same page and it's all even.
Right. And there's been obviously mixed reviews on what that is. I think that if you're looking at something like, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets, tickets cost a pretty hefty amount of money, around $100 probably, maybe even more. So a 7% ticket fee would really not add tack on that much more. If you can pay $100 to go see the Blue Jackets, what's, you know, 7% more than that? I don't know. I can't do the math. I went into journalism because I'm
Bingo.
Not good at math.
I hear you. Yeah.
But it's the people who are for this say, hey, if I'm going to pay that much, what's 7% more? The bigger issue I see, based on people that I've been speaking with, is people that have events. Yeah, they are worried that this will make tickets more expensive and people will turn away because they don't want to pay for that. Mm-hmm. But if they're already paying a big amount of money, then what's a little bit more is what I've heard and what I've been told.
Yes.
Yeah, Gail, you know, last time you went to the movies with your, you know, your family, you know, you have choices in this town. We got a ton of movie theaters, but if you know that you can go to Columbus and pay more, or you could go to Hilliard, Dublin, New Albany, somewhere else and pay less, you're going to frequent Columbus less and go to the movie theaters that are cheaper. Look, ticket, popcorn, you know, all the good stuff in the movie theater is expensive now. And now we're going to tack on additional 7% for the movies too, on anything. Think about like the church. And then they said memberships too. So Costco, Sam's Club, your memberships too, golf. I'm not a golfer, but if you golf, it would be 7% too. So it's memberships as well. Does that include Mirfield Country Club? Does that include the zoo? We don't know. There's a lot of unknowns, but they did say memberships as well. And that's Costco and Sam's Club.
It is important to know that it is all arts and culture. So I don't know if Sam's Club and Costco would count under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. But it is unknown at this point.
And they're still tweaking the proposal. That's right. The other thing, too. So it could be there today and gone tomorrow, or yeah. They could add something and take something else away. Michael, do you have, and you mentioned a little bit earlier about other ideas, the way that the arts can fund themselves. Mm-hmm. Do you think that business in this city should step up and do more? And I know businesses do help the arts, but is that the answer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in the three public hearings we've heard so far, the men and women who represent the Arts Council, great people. Tom has been a great ambassador. They have not made a compelling case why they need more money other than the fact they've said we're underfunded. They haven't demonstrated one thing that we're lacking or hurting on. They just said, hey, we're underfunded. And Tom said, and it's quoted in the local paper here, it's our turn, which I think is a terrible talking point, mind you, just because it's your turn to get more money, mind. So at the end of the day, they have not made the case for more money, except for it's our turn, we want more money. Their words, not mine.
Do you think the arts are important to our city?
Absolutely. The arts are important to every city, but they're getting about $8 million a year currently now from the bed tax. More hotels are being built every day. It's great. You see the cranes in the Short North. Those are condos. Those are a lot of hotels, too. We're doing another Hilton. More and more revenue will be coming to support the arts, and that's a good thing. And I think we maybe need to run the Arts Council more like a business. Let's make more money off that June festival that they have every year. It's packed wall to wall for three straight days. Let's make more revenue off that, because right now they said at the first public hearing, it's a break-even event for them, and that's a shame. That should be a revenue generator.
Do you like the idea of a user tax as opposed to another type of tax?
No, I don't like any tax. I think this fall we're going to be voting on a Metro Parks tax for the county. So if you live in Franklin County, most likely that's going to pass. So your property taxes are going to go up again. Every year it seems like, okay, we got children's services, we got this tax, we got that tax, city raised the income tax. Every year it's another local tax. And at what point do we say, guys, we can't live in Franklin County anymore. It's too expensive. So we have to be very careful when we're raising taxes, user fees, water bills. It just adds up for the family of four that's trying to make it on a limited income.
Does the fact that the arts and the events that are here that promote our city, that bring people to the city, that spend money, do all those things financially factor into your opinion on this?
Absolutely. And as I said earlier, that's a great question, Gail, that the reason why the Arnold Sports Complex makes so much money for the city is because the hotels are packed, the restaurants are packed, and people are buying and trading goods on the floor, the showroom floors of the event. But if the Arnold looks at their books and says, look, the 7% is not worth it, I don't know, you have to talk to Mr. Lorimer about that, but they go to a different city. You can go to Los Angeles for that matter. You can go anywhere they want. But if we lose events because of a user tax that we didn't have before, where are we at the end of the day? The hotels won't be full. The restaurants won't be packed on those weekends. And we'll have less people visiting our city. We don't want that. There's good people running our convention bureau here. They are. Don Brown is a good man. But I think this ticket tax is just a misguided effort.
Would you feel better, again, if it were a tax that were put to the full voters? Proposal standing as it is, but not city council deciding it.
Well, I mean, it still would be unfortunate at the end of the day, but the people would speak then, you know? I mean, look, if we would have lost the zoo levy 3 years ago, I'd have put my hands in there, went home, and paid higher taxes, my property taxes. You know, you come out on the losing end. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But it should be up to the people that are going to be taxed, not City Hall. You know, look, one councilwoman has already recused herself because of a conflict of interest. We believe there's two more council members that need to recuse themselves because they actually sit on the Greater Columbus Arts Council. So they're members of a board, and then they're going to be voting to raise revenue that would support the board for which they sit on. So there's a lot of issues behind the scenes that are going on with this tax. And I think we just need to hit the pause button and stop and look at where we are before they try to ram this through.
And Emily, that's a question for you. When you hear these public hearings, and they added the public hearings, so now we've had a few, there's possibilities when you say they come back in session. Where do you think this is going to go? Could they add more public hearings? Do you think they'll press the pause button like Michael has suggested?
That really all depends. I have no idea.
You haven't heard from any of the council members their thoughts on where it's going?
No, no, I have not. Like I said, they're out in their summer break right now, so it's been hard to kind of get a hold of them. But yeah, I don't know about that.
And Michael, other cities, have you looked into how they fund things to compare and to offer other ideas? You know, you've mentioned the Arts Festival, but besides that, have you looked at what other cities do and say to Columbus folks, what about this?
No, I haven't. You know, I'm going to leave that to the experts, you know, the men and women that are being paid to work full time at the Greater Columbus Arts Council. That's their job. And we trust that that they're making those right decisions. But, you know, the knee jerk reaction is, let's just, you know, put it on the backs of taxpayers. That's the wrong first step to do. I think you need to sit back and look at your current operations, where you're falling short, where you're exceeding and excelling, and then focus on those areas. And again, like I said earlier, run it like a business and you can have more opportunity. Maybe they need to do to attract more corporate sponsorships, like you said, or bring in more events that actually benefit the arts. But just to say, hey, 7% across the board, any ticketed events in the city of Columbus is misguided.
Just to mention again, we did invite the Greater Columbus Art Council to be here with us today, but unfortunately, they have a day-long meeting and they couldn't send anyone in our time slot. So I do want to let folks know that we did try to talk with them. And I also want to go to Kim. And Kim, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please. Oh, she's gone. Bye, Kim. Michael, if you could do you go to the public hearings?
I did, all three of them.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's been your impression of what you've heard?
I would say I went the first time with a bunch of concerned citizens such as myself, and we really didn't speak. Actually, we did speak the first hearing, not so much the second hearing, because the local artists stood up, the local business owners, the concert promoters, the movie theater general managers. They're the ones who stood up, the local musicians, the small business owner that has a gallery, that has a ticketed event. They really took a bulk majority of the time at the first couple hearings, or the first two hearings, I should say. And you know, and everyone was respectful and polite, but, you know, we had just difference of opinions on this. But the grassroots opposition to this has struck me like never before, because we didn't have that with the zoo. We had to go out and, you know, and explain to the people what was coming. But the impact that this would have on local musicians and artists is so devastating that they chose to, one was at 7:30 at night, one was at 8:30 in the morning, and the third hearing was at noon. So it wasn't the most convenient times of the day, but they stopped what they were doing, wherever they were in life, to come and voice their opposition. And it was stunning. The diversity of opposition is amazing.
Well, it's amazing to me that some of the people that are involved in the arts are against it. And I thought that when, you know, you say musicians and other folks, that would be interesting.
It is. And I think you're going to start hearing a lot more from them as well moving forward here. If city council, if it appears as if, and again, we don't know, but if they do appear to be moving towards this, I think you're going to see a groundswell of opposition. You know, if we have to go to ballot, which we hope we don't have to, but if we do, you're going to need 8,000 signatures. We'll be able to get that in the matter of a couple days with the opposition. And then we'll ultimately let the voters decide if the council does pass a 7% ticket tax.
Michael, thank you for joining us. You're leaving us now, but we appreciate your side of the story. We're going to take a quick break, and listeners, you can join the conversation. We're talking about the ticket tax to benefit the arts in Columbus. You can give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann today. This hour, we're talking about the Greater Columbus Arts Council proposal for a 7% tax to be placed on tickets and admission to most events in the capital city. Still with us, Columbus Business First staff reporter Emily Bench. And joining us now in the studio, Executive Director of the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority, Don Brown. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you, Gail.
And we, again, reached out to the folks at the Columbus Arts Council. They have a day-long event and didn't have anyone who could join us during this hour. So wanted to let everyone know that we did try to reach a representative since it is their proposal. Don, you support this 7% tax that's been put forth by the Columbus Arts Council. Why?
We do. The Convention Facilities Authority has signed on. It's given its support to the admissions fee or admissions tax program because we believe it's the best of the 13 alternatives that were put on the table 6 years ago when the Funding Review Advisory Committee met at the council and mayor's urging and looked at 13 different ways, including of sin taxes, property taxes, of sales taxes, income taxes, and a variety of other sorts. Why is this better? Is this puts the burden, by and large, on the customers at the arenas, the customers at the arts and cultural facilities and theaters. So it's those that benefit most are the patrons that go to the performing arts and sporting events and museums and COSAI and zoo and other cultural and arts facilities that are publicly supported and have served the community so well for generations.
Just to make a point, you mentioned sports, but we're not talking about collegiate sports or high school sports.
We are not, but we are talking about professional sports. And so the Clippers, the Blue Jackets, the Crew, if they stay here, would participate. And so the patrons, the customers at those events would be the ones bearing the burden of the admissions tax.
This proposal seems to indicate, and you've said that 6 years ago they started looking at ways to fund the arts, that we have an arts funding issue. Why do we, have, as a city, have this issue when maybe other cities don't?
There have been 30 studies over the last 12 years pointing out that Columbus lacks the endowment resources that competing cities have and lack the public support. Just look at the Columbus Museum of Art or COSAI and you compare them to their peer sets around the country or around the Midwest, and you'll find that they generate as much earned income through concessions and through turnstile revenues, through admissions, as any peer. But what they don't have and what their competitors in other cities have is public support. COSAI and the Museum of Art probably have less than 25% of the average that their peer organizations have in other communities.
And why do you think this is so? If they knew that answer, they'd probably have more money.
they believe they've maxed out on earned income. It's going to take time to generate endowment revenue from wealthy donors and benefactors. What they want to do to help fill the gap is generate more public support, more public funding, and doing that through a user fee tax seems to be the fairest. You know, Gail, there are 63 other cities in Ohio, just Ohio alone, that have an admissions fee. And we have checked all of a dozen of the cities that we compete with on a regular basis for performing arts, for that Pearl Jam concert or for the U2 concert or for conventions. And they all have admission taxes as well. That includes Cincinnati and Cleveland, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville, even Austin has a admissions tax. Austin's admissions tax is 8.5%. So it's certainly not this proposal that's causing the Crew to look at Austin.
What is the significance of a well-funded arts program in our city? And expand that. What is the significance then of the money going to the arena to keep Nationwide sufficiently financed?
Great point. Every community that is vying for the Amazon headquarters facility and the 50,000 jobs that come with it have downtown arena and have a thriving arts and cultural community. Those cultural amenities, those arts amenities, and those opportunities to attend professional sports and performing arts are the things that draw the young and talented professionals, that retain the talent, and draw employers like Amazon hit to communities like ours. That's why we're competing for it. Columbus showed its very best when it hosted the Women's Final Four at Nationwide Arena. And there were over 18,000, 19,000 people The posted the capacity is 18.5, but they said there were 19,000 people there. We showed our very best when we hosted that event, and things we need a downtown arena, and we need a thriving arts and cultural community in order to compete and to be a top-tier community that we aspire to be.
And so if we want to be viable and bring more conventions and bring all those other things, this, I believe, you think is important. Wanted to let everyone know we are talking about the ticket tax that is being proposed to fund the arts and some renovations at Nationwide Arena. Emily, you've been at some of the public hearings. What do you hear people say about supporting the arts and the importance of the arts or the arena to the city? Do people acknowledge that those things seem to be important to the quality of life here?
Yes, absolutely. You hear many, many people say, even people who are opposing the tax say, hey, I think the arts are a great thing and I want us to support them, but they might not want to support it publicly. I've heard a lot of different people say that they do support funding for the arts, yes.
And Don, you said you've looked at other cities and the way that they do it. In here, you said that there were several other ways to look at funding for the arts. This is the most viable that you think. Do you think that the voters should do it instead of city council?
I'm not in charge of the process. City council is. They'll decide whether or not they've had enough public hearings, whether they need more, and whether they need to take it to the ballot or not. I do know that it's fair. It puts us on a level playing field with the cities that we compete with and which our arts and cultural organizations here compete with on a regular basis. It's in line with market. As to the arena, the two arenas, the professional sports patrons and the customers that go to performing arts and concerts and shows at the arenas, both the SHOT and Nationwide, will generate nearly half of the proposed ticket tax revenues, 49% to be exact. So in essence, the arena patrons will be paying for the improvements to the arena. And I don't think there's any fairer way of imposing the burden on keeping the arena alive and for another 20 years, it served us 19 years already, then through a user fee so that the patrons and fans that attend events at the arenas can keep the arena a thriving place.
What about some of the folks who called this morning and still consider that a bailout and that the city really didn't want the arena in the first place? And shouldn't the Blue Jackets be putting more toward the arena? I mean, all those different arguments about why public dollars should not go to help the arena at this point.
We're not asking for general tax dollars. We're not asking for income or property or sales tax dollars to support the arena. We're asking the patrons that go to events at the arena, sports and performing arts, to pay a little bit more to keep the arena alive. Again, why do we need a downtown arena? Those that went to the Women's Final Four know the answer to that. Yeah, because it anchors a thriving, employable community here. It anchors a lot of employers here. If we want to compete for Amazon headquarters expansion here, then we have to have the infrastructure, the art museum, the science museum, the zoo, the libraries, and arena facilities to provide the quality of life and the culture that a world-class, top-tier city needs.
We're talking about the ticket tax that is being sponsored by the Greater Columbus Arts Council. At City Council at this point, the proposal would be 7% tax, a user tax on events, cultural events in the city, sporting events. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And still in the studio with me, Don Brown, Executive Director of the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority, and Emily Bench, Staff Reporter for Columbus Business First. And Emily, where do you see this going from here? Where are we in the process? As I said, it's in front of City Council. What happens now?
So what will happen now is, as like I've said before, City Council is on their summer break, so they'll be back on September 17th. And organizers with the city say that they're trying to figure out the best way to attack it right now, and that is kind of up in the air on the direct steps. They could take it back to the public to get more public opinion and retweak the proposal. They could vote. They could. There's a lot of different avenues that they could go with this, and right now it is not known.
Don, what do you know about going forward on this proposal?
I expect that it will be presented to City Council by the Arts Council sometime this month.
Sometime this month. Do you know if there's any more public hearings that plan to be held?
I expect that City Council will schedule public hearings on the matter.
When you look at other cities, Don, that have put money, a user tax, as you say, on events like this to sponsor arts, and Columbus is not one of them, do you really think it is that much more of an advantage to our city to attract events, or would we be more on a level playing field with everyone else, and you do, at the end of the day, you don't think it'll make much difference?
It allows us to sustain the assets that we need to stay on a level playing field. That's what it allows us to do.
I'm reading an email here from someone named Aaron who said he's an engineer for a touring band and they're an independently owned business. They host live music. We like to keep door prices to $5 every night. 90% of that goes to musicians. Does this tax affect, does it involve cover charges at places like this?
Well, that's a good question. This question came up during the public hearings that the Arts Council held recently, we certainly listened to the concerns of small businesses and those with five tops, tabletops, and a stand-up act in the back, and charging a cover charge to come in and listen to that performing artist. I think there'll probably be some exclusion for small, however that's defined, small facilities. Other communities have defined that in terms of the number of seats. So facility with, these are just my examples, drawn from other cities, with less than 50 seats or with less than 75 seats might be altogether exempt. And I think that would respond to this this question.
Okay, I'm going to take one quick call here. This is Joel. Joel, your comment or question, please. Hello, Joel.
Hi.
Yes.
My question is, I feel like the tax on the ticket price, you're kind of penalizing the people that are supporting you already with their membership. You know, I'm a supporter of the Broadway series Columbus, have been for 25 years. We belong to the zoo. We belong to COSI over the years. So, you know, you're already getting my dollars, so I'm already supporting. But the rest of the city that are not members are benefiting for exactly what your guest is talking about, you know, having a thriving community, you know, that helps your property and your business, you know, just on the peripheral end of it. So my question is it uncommon for someone like the Blue Jackets to not pay some sort of rental fee to contribute to their own success, as well as the tax abatements for the high-rise condos that you mentioned?
Okay, we will put that question because we're running out of time. Thank you so much. Don, good question about whether or not other teams pay rent.
Gail, essentially, I can't name a National Hockey League team in North America that pays rent. So the Blue Jackets do not have a better deal than other hockey franchises do. The Blue Jackets do pay to maintain and operate their arena. They pay all of the expenses of maintaining and operating the arena, including the utilities, including the labor, during the hockey season. That's the prevailing practice among National Hockey League franchises. They pay for the use of the arena, if you will, and they pay all of the associated operating costs during the hockey season. The rest of the year is devoted to performing arts and to special events like the Women's Final Four, and it's the patrons of those performing arts, the Pearl Jam concert or the Bon Jovi concert, or the women's Final Four that will pay for the use of the arena during the non-hockey season.
Okay.
I want to thank the patron for her membership and the organization and helping to sustain those our cultural and art facilities.
Don, thank you. That is Don Brown, the executive director of the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority. Thanks for your time today, Don.
Thank you.
And Emily Bench, staff reporter for Columbus Business First. Emily, thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. I'm your host, Gail Hogan. And this has been All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.